Today we're going to continue our series we've called Jumpstart. How many are ready to jump off the cliff? I almost got you there, didn't you? Some of you, how many are ready to jumpstart the new year? There you go. Yeah. Some of you almost are ready to jump off the cliff. We're talking about jumpstart today. We're talking about this year being a great year. And doing that, we're looking at things that will help prepare us to jumpstart, to have a great year. And we've talked about things such as learning to number our days, learning to live our days according to what David said when he says that we should prioritize our days, knowing that, you know what, we don't have tomorrow. And if the doctor told you you had 1 year to live, how would you live this year differently? What kind of priorities would you make? And the things that we think that are important would probably not be as important. And the things we think that were unimportant would take a lot of value to us. And we're talking about living our days that way. Last week we talked about learning to what? Learning to handle the small things in our life. And we talked about it's the small things that get us, isn't it? It's not the big things, it's the small things that take us over. That many times it's enough of the small things that get us. And God's looking for you to conquer the small things so he says he can take you to the big things. Some of you are wondering, when am I going to get my big thing? Well, when you can conquer your small thing, and then God can trust you with the big thing. It's a proving ground. It's a testing that God does for us and has for us that he does not want to take us where we are not mature enough to handle. My talents can take me somewhere my maturity can't handle if I'm not careful. Let me say it again. That was pretty good. Somebody needs to write that down and give it back to me. That was good. That was good. My talents can take me somewhere my maturity can't handle. And so I have to wait for God's timing. And we'll talk about that more coming up. But today, I want to talk to you about the thought of letting go and taking hold. Letting go and taking hold. And before I go any further, I want to quickly remind you, those of you who have signed up for Dave Ramsey, we've had several sign up for Dave Ramsey course. We need to have those registrations and the money turned in by next Sunday. Next Sunday, if you can bring those offerings with you and turn that in, the offering, be sure to get that. And if you haven't signed up and you want to sign up, make sure you let us know so we can sign you up. We've had several sign up. It's going to be a full big class. And so we want to have you participate in that. If you want to know more about that, there's some forms out there on the information desk. You can fill those out and give that to one of the staff members. We'll be sure to get that and turn it in for you today. Today we're going to talk about letting go and taking hold. How many know before you can take hold, you got to let go? Before you can take hold of the future, you got to let go of the past. And you got to let go to take hold. If you want to take something in what God has for you, you got to let go of where you've been and say, God, I'm ready to take hold of something new in my life. I want you, God, to direct me to a new place, a new thing. And God today is looking for people who are ready to let go and to take hold. Because when it talks about change, how many know, isn't change just a great subject? Don't we love talking about change? Am I the only person who likes talking about change? None of us like it, do we? It's not an easy thing. We don't like to talk about change because change is not an easy thing for us to go through. So anytime we talk about letting go and taking hold of something new, it's going to involve us changing. It's going to involve us growing and stretching. And anytime we talk about this word change, we seem to very easily get discomfort because, you know, for some of us here, if we had to change chairs and rows next week, you guys wouldn't know what to do. If I came in and switched the pattern of the chairs from, you know, every other color to rows of colors, some of you guys would know where to sit. Oh, where we can sit. I mean, well, change is not an easy thing in our life to do, but it's a must if we're going to grow. It's a must if we're going to grow and become the person that God has for us. And so we've covered up a lot of stuff in our life, and we all play this cover-up game. Am I the only ones who ever play this game called cover-up? What that basically means is that we like to cover up things. Instead of changing, we want to cover up, don't we? Instead of changing who we really are, we want to cover up and say, you know, my situation is really okay. So we cover up the real truth that really the truth is that we're struggling. And the truth is that I need help. And the truth is that I've got some addictions in my life that aren't very good. And I've got some sin in my life, some habits I need to get rid of. But instead of admitting those things and getting free, God, we sometimes will come in, we'll cover them up, and I'm okay. I'm okay. And we keep telling ourselves that enough. I'm okay. And you get up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror. I'm okay. You know, and pretty soon you're going to believe that. Even though it's a lie, we tell ourselves I'm okay. And really, we're not. We're just covering up what's really there. And so we play this game of covering up. So today I wonder, what is it that you're covering up? What is it that I'm covering up today? What are the things that we cover up? Is there really a substance abuse problem that you have that you don't want to tell anybody about? Is there an anger issue that maybe you have? Is there a sexual addiction that maybe you have? Is there a food addiction or disorder, something that you have that you don't want to admit or talk about? What are things that in our life, a secret sin, a habit, things that nobody knows about, you're hanging on to, things that we're just covering up? What are the things in our life that we're covering up and not wanting to deal with? Those are the things I want to deal with today about letting go and taking hold. We play this game that we just, all right, I'm just going to cover it up, you know. I need someone to give me a hand this morning. Come here a second, Carlos. He's always good for a hand. Have a seat right here. Carlos on the front step. You want to get a... You need a haircut this morning, don't you? Okay. See, because many of us, Carlos represents every one of us here today. Let's say that many of us, we have things in our life that we don't want people to see. And so what we do is we cover up our life like this, and we come to church like this. We live our daily life like this. We put on this spiritual cloak, you know. This is not the, we're not doing any kind of passion play this morning, okay? This represents covering up. We come and we cover up ourselves and we try to hide who we really are, because if people really seen who he was, they wouldn't like it. If God really seen the person I was, he wouldn't like it. And so we come in and we play this cover-up game. And see, this is the problem with cover-up is this, that when we cover up ourselves, this is what happened. And then God comes and he uncovers us. And he knocks things over, just like that. When we cover up ourselves on our own, and then God will always come and he will always uncover us and expose us. And that's not a place where I want to be. I don't want to be here exposed because God has uncovered me. But the opposite is true, that when I voluntarily come to church and uncover myself, what happens? I uncover myself and I say, God, this is who I really am. This is where I'm falling short. God, these are the things I'm dealing with in my life. God, this is the real me. These are the habits I have. These are addictions I have. These are the pride I have. This is the secret sin maybe I have that nobody knows about. When I come and I confess it to God and I open up and say, this is me, God, right here. It may not look pretty. No offense, Carlos. It may not look pretty. But you know what God does? When we uncover ourselves and then God comes back behind us and he covers us with his grace. It's an awesome act of love that God has for you and I. That if we will come in, we'll uncover ourselves, then allow God to cover us with his grace and his mercy. And then God covers us, and he covers up our wounds, and he covers up our things that we're struggling with, and he covers us with his grace and his mercy. But if we choose to cover up ourselves, and then God will always expose that. Thank you, Carlos. And so the question is today, what are we covering up? What are the things that we are covering up today? What are the things that we are covering up today? Because God is saying this, hey, I want you to come and I want you to just let it go, man. I want you to expose it. I want you to let go today. He's never wanted us to come in. That's why in our bulletin you'll see a list of things we believe in. We believe very much in being real. We have real people here. We have real problems. We have real things we're dealing with, and we serve a real God. And he wants us just to be real. He's never expected any of us to come in with our spiritual garment and come in and try to act holier than thou. How are you today, brother? Oh, bless God. You know, isn't the weather nice today? Oh, yes, it's going to be a great day. Bless you as you go. You know, God's not looking for that. He's looking for those who come in and say, God, this is me, really. This is who I am. This is the real me. I give it to you. And then God takes my nakedness and he covers me. He takes my vulnerability and he covers me. And that's the place where you want to be. Not where you cover yourself, but you allow God's grace to cover you. Yeah, my marriage isn't the best. God, I need some help. God, we're struggling, my marriage. God, we need your help. If we don't get any help, God, we're in trouble. That's exposing and allowing God to come and cover you and your spouse in grace. And says, all right, now you've given it to me. Let me help you. God, my finances are horrible. People think I got it together, but they don't know that car I have out there is about to be repoed. They don't know what's going on. I mean, we got so many things that are happening. If we'll just uncover ourselves and say, God, I've got to have your help. I've got to get some management issues going on in my life. I've got to find a new job. I got some things that got to happen in my life. I got to uncover who I am and allow God's grace to cover me. That's good. That's right. Change comes from the outside. He places the person of the Holy Spirit inside of us to change us from the inside out. Proverbs 2:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." Isn't that a good scripture? He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have what? Mercy. I need mercy in my life. Do you need mercy? I want to prosper in my life. Do you want to prosper? So if I want to prosper, I have to take off my cover and say, God, that man, I don't have it all together. God, I'm struggling still with things in my life. God, I need your help in my marriage. God, I need your help with my children. God, I need your help in my finances. God, I need your help with my addiction. God, I need your help. And we have to uncover ourselves to allow God to cover us. So I confess and I turn from my sin. God will cover me because there is an exchange that takes place. Exchange for our guilt for his grace, our failures for his forgiveness, our pursuits for his passion. That's our life. That's the exchange. So true change happens when I say, I can't. This is what happens. True change happens when I say, I can't. God, I cannot do it by myself. God, I can't do this any longer. God, I can't carry this alone. God, my marriage won't make this unless you help us. God, my finances won't survive unless you teach me. God, my health will not. See, it's I can't. True change happens when I give up, when I uncover myself and say, God, this is where I need you to help me. That's where true change will help happen, when I realize that I can't. Because that's the really truth of the matter. It all starts right there with saying, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. None of us can do it on our own. We need God's help in our life. And true change happens when I can admit that. I lay down my pride. And so today I want to look at a story that talks about this letting go and taking hold. In Mark chapter 5, there's a woman in the scripture that teaches us this woman had been sick for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years, and she had spent money and gone to doctors and tried to get herself taken care of, and nothing would work. She was on her last straw. She was just, I mean, had no, probably hardly any faith left at all. She had tried everything she could, just an ounce of faith left, and she had tried everything, and nothing was working for her, and she was sick. She'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Let's see what the scripture says about this. In Mark 5, 25 and 26, it says, a woman was there in the crowd who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Now let's look at this. Back in the day when a woman was bleeding like this, or any person who was bleeding, you were considered unclean, okay? You were considered an outcast. You were considered a society's reject. You must have had some secret sin. You must have done something very wrong for God to be punishing you this way. And so you are an outcast, okay? So not only is this woman suffering physically, but she's also suffering emotionally and socially because she's an outcast. She's not welcome. People don't want to be around her. They can't. If they hold to their ceremonial ritual, they cannot even touch her. They can't even be around her because she is considered unclean. And so we see this thing happening. She's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And she is today, I wonder how many of us can relate to this and say, Pastor, I'm not bleeding. But yes, maybe today you are here, and maybe you're hemorrhaging in your finances. Maybe your marriage is bleeding. Maybe your health is something wrong with your health. Maybe your relationships. You got things in your life that are bleeding, they're hurting, and you can't stop it. And you tried everything you can to stop the pain. You tried everything you can to get what you need done, and it's just not working. And you feel like you've done it all, and you feel like you've thrown it all out there, and nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. We can identify with that. I can identify with that before in my life. Can you identify with those feelings? This is the way the woman was feeling. Woman was holding on to things. She had to let go of some things. They had this interaction with Jesus. She had to let go of some things that she was holding on to. She had to let go. Today, what are we holding on to? Because the stuff we're holding on to, it will mess you up. The things we're holding on to, those are the things that will mess you up. What are the things that you don't want to let go? what are the things that today that are suffering? It says this woman that she had tried and spent money trying to fix the problem. She spent almost all of her money, much money. Many theologians believe she was a very rich woman, that she had spent a lot of money trying to get what she needed to be healed, stop. I wonder how many of us are the same way. How many of us have problems and we throw money at our problems? Our relationship with our spouse is not good, so we throw money. Here, honey, go shop and just leave me alone. Here, let's just take a vacation and it'll make everything better. Let's just do this. And all right, my kids don't want to speak to me and our relationship's bad, so here, go buy you something and make yourself feel bad. I mean, we throw money at problems and we think just throwing money at our problems will fix it. You know, there's something that the rich have that know that we really, maybe some of us here today, we don't know. The rich know this, that money doesn't buy happiness. Money doesn't buy happiness. Money doesn't solve our problems. And today we know this, that the money will only bring instant gratification for a short time, but the real problem always surfaces back up. And today, that I wonder, what's the problem that we're trying to just get a quick fix for? We try to throw money at it. We try to ignore it. We try to say, we're holding on to it. And today, if we really was be honest, what are the things that are really bleeding in our life that need to be taken care of? What are the addictions that we're suffering with? What are the things that we're hanging on to? What are the things that God's asking us to let go? And we're afraid. This woman, she was afraid. She had so many things. She was an outcast. She had tried so much to try to get what God had for her. But instead of getting better, Scripture says she got worse. That's the way we feel. Instead of getting better, I've tried this and tried that. Instead of getting better, it's just getting worse. Maybe you're not throwing money at the situation, but maybe you're throwing work at the problem. Well, if I just work more hours, I don't have to be around the situation. I don't have to deal with it. And it'll be all right. And we throw a work. And if I can just find another hobby, keep myself occupied. If I can just do this. And we try everything else to solve the problem. And really the problem has to do with something on the inside of us. The problem has to do with something on us. That we're covering up things instead of just exposing and saying, God, I've got a problem and I need your help. God, I need your help in a serious way. She was dealing with a lot of shame. She was dealing with a lot of things in her life that she didn't want to let go. I mean, the social outcast that she was facing, she had to deal with this shame. We got to learn to deal with our shame today if we're going to be free. We got to learn to deal with our shame. Verse 27 says it like this. When she learned about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. Isn't shame a wicked thing? I mean, shame will keep you from so many things in your life. Shame will come in and keep you from being the person that God has for you. Shame will keep you from coming in and experience the fullness of God's worship. Shame will keep you from coming in and being the person that God's called you to be. Because shame is like that. And you know what? Who brings shame to us? God doesn't bring shame to us. Satan brings shame. I mean, it's just the devil. That is the devil. Shame comes from the devil. And Satan is the one who condemns us. He's a liar. And he's the one who's going to put shame on you. He's the one who's going to bring the shame to you. And this woman, she had shame. She was feeling so embarrassed of her condition. Such an outcast. And she's trying to get to Jesus. You know, when we make a faith decision today, you're going to have to fight against the current. It says she had to fight against the current of the people. I mean, by this time, the crowds were so huge. Jesus had rock star status everywhere he went. I mean, it was paparazzi and, you know, it was the whole thing. It was happening there. And people were crying to him, holding their babies up. Touch my baby. Bless him. Bless this. I need healing. Jesus, touch me. This. Can you imagine the people yelling as he walked by the streets and people trying to usher him through? And this woman, in order to get to him, had to fight the current of the people to even get a chance to touch the hem of his garment. And today I say to you, if you are going to touch Jesus, that you're going to have to fight the current of people around you. Because people around you are going to tell you, don't go this way. Don't do this. You are foolish for trusting in God. Don't put your faith in God. What are you doing? you know, you have to fight against the current. When you decide to make a stand, you know what? I'm going to touch Jesus no matter the cost. When you decide to make a stand, say, you know what? I'm going to get to Jesus no matter the cost. You're going to fight through the crowd of people. There's people at your school, at your university, at your job. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not always the easy thing to do to make a stand. But it's worth it when you touch Jesus. Every effort was worth it when you touched Jesus. Because you don't care about the pain of fighting through the crowd. You don't care about the pain of fighting through the current. All you care about is, I have touched Jesus. I have touched Jesus. And my life will never be the same. There's something about making a stand for Christ that says that I've got to fight through it. It's never easy, is it? Making a stand for Christ, we're going to be pushed and we're going to be tested. But you're going to fight that current and say, you know what? I will stand for Christ no matter what. I will stand for Christ even when it's not the popular thing to do. Even when I'm alone at my school. Even when I'm alone at my work. Even when nobody else is wanting to stand up. I will stand it. I will stand up because I will fight the current because I know if I can just touch Jesus, everything will change. She had a faith decision. I'm sure this lady had very little faith left. She had tried so many things in her life. She had tried so much. And some of you here today, maybe you feel that way. Pastor, I know that God can do it, but I just don't have much faith left. The scripture teaches us if we'll even have faith as big as what? A mustard seed. Mustard seed. I mean, that's one of the smallest seeds you can get. If we can just even have an ounce of faith, God says that we can do the impossible, that we can trust Him and believe in Him. Today, we know this, that God wants me to be honest before others. We've got to say, God, I want to be honest before you, before others, before myself, before God. I'm not going to blame other people. I'm not going to cover myself up and blame other people, but I'm going to uncover myself and say, God, today, I'm giving my life to you. Today, I'm exposing who I am. Today, God, I'm admitting I need help. God, today. This woman had to fight through some stuff. But she had the faith. So many of us need to let go of the efforts and stop our shame. All of our efforts and just take hold. Just take hold. Take hold of the hem of Christ. She had to let go. In order for her to get to Christ, she had to let go of the pain and the fear. In order for us to get to Christ, many times in our life, we have to let go to get somewhere. She had to let go of saying, you know what, if I get to that crowd and someone recognizes who I really am, they're gonna yell, unclean, unclean. I mean, don't you hate a tattletale? Don't you hate the people who tattle, you know? My kids are really good at this, you know. They just know, he did it, he did it. Oh, oh. They're like. This woman had to fight that fear because if she was exposed, people knew who she really was. I'm sure she had her head covered as she was going through, hoping not to be spotted because she was not supposed to be touched. And to get to Jesus, she had to rub shoulders with all those people. She had to weave her way in and out of there. She had to let go of her fear of saying, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen. I've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. I mean, she had to let go of some things. She had to let go of her shame. She had to let go of her fear in order to take hold of Christ. You know, in our life, we got shame that we had to have, and we got to let go of that shame and say, you know what? God's not ready to condemn me. God's ready to forgive me. And I've got to let go of my shame and uncover it and say, God, I'm going to fight through you. I got to let go of some fears and say, you know what? I'm going to go after you. And when she got to him, she touched him. I love this verse. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? Go to that next verse if you would. We've got to stop our shame. It says, immediately after she touched him, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And he was asking this question. Who touched me? Now, for me, you've heard me teach a story before. Some of you have. You know that I find this story very comical. This part of the story very comical. It doesn't take a lot for me to see things very comical, but that's just the way I am, okay? But, you know, can you imagine Jesus stopping in a crowd of thousands of people who are crowding up against him. And he said, "Hey, who touched me?" And I can imagine his disciples going, Jesus, everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching at you. And babies are throwing their babies at you. They're all touching you. Everybody's touching you. Did Jesus know who touched him? Yes, he does. Jesus knew who touched him. He didn't need to know this woman's name. He knew who touched him. He was full God, and he knew exactly who had touched him. But there was something about him looking around to see who touched him. It says he was looking around to see who was it that stretched out their hand of faith. And I wonder today, is Jesus looking around today and say, who's going to touch me? Who's going to reach out and who's going to grab hold of the promise? Who's going to reach out and receive the healing I have for them? Who's going to reach out and receive the restoration I have for them? Who's going to reach out and receive the forgiveness that I have for them? Who's going to reach out and receive the shame be blown away in their life? Who's going to reach out and see their fear taken away? Who's going to reach out? He's looking to see who is reaching for him. Who is reaching for him? Today, God is still looking to see who is reaching for him. Are you reaching for him? Are you looking for him? Verse 29 says, immediately after she touched him, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She kept looking around. He kept looking around to see who had done it. And right now, Jesus is looking around to see who wants to touch me. Verse 33 says, and then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and with trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Isn't that a power-packed verse right there? She told him the whole truth. She faced Jesus. Before, she didn't want to face Jesus. You notice that? Before, she was so fearful of facing Jesus, she just wanted just to get close enough behind him just to touch the hem of his garment. Now, she comes to him face-to-face, falling, trembling with fear. And she says, Jesus, I'm the woman. I'm unclean. This is me. She exposes who I am. She exposes who she is. She faced her fears. I mean, that was a big thing. Jesus could have said, hello, she's unclean. Woman, what are you doing here? Woman, who do you think you are? Did Jesus do that? No, because Jesus does not long to publicly humiliate you. He doesn't want to do that. He's not looking to do that. He wants to praise you. Look what he says here. This is great. Because privately, she touched his garment. And then publicly, she went to him. And he honored her for her efforts. He honored her for her efforts. Jesus honored her. He said, man, your faith. Has healed you today. He honored her. She came publicly and laid at his feet, exposed who she was. And Jesus took off his garment of grace, and he covered her. He said, woman, because you fought through your fear, because you exposed your real problem here today, I'm here to tell you today, you're going to leave made whole. And he covered her publicly with his grace. What an awesome act of God's love. What an awesome act of how God treats you and I. When we come to him, we expose who we really are, that God takes us and he leads us and he takes us down this place of letting go of our shame. So it's time for us to tell Jesus the whole truth. It's time for us to let go. Publicly, we have to say, I am standing for Christ. Have you ever talked to shame in your life? Have you ever talked to shame in your life? Sometimes it's good to talk to shame. You know that? Sometimes you just got to ask shame in your life. Shame, who's your daddy? You know what shame says the daddy is? He says, my daddy's pride. Because pride will keep you living in shame. Pride will keep you living in shame because you're too proud to say, this is who I really am. We're too proud to take off our jacket. We're too proud to show ourselves spiritually. We're too proud to show ourselves and say, God, this is who I really am. I don't have it all together. I make mistakes, and I'm just not there. I need help. And so shame will keep you there. Pride will feed off of shame. This ride of pride, man, it'll take you on a ride you don't want to go. It will lead you to a path of destruction. I say to you today, let go of your pride. Let go of your pride. Allow God to do something great in your life. Admit that, man, I don't have it together, and I need God's help, and I need His Holy Spirit alive and full in my life. We've got to learn to face our fear. Personalize it. Face my fear. We all have fear in our lives. You're going to have some doubt. You're going to have questions. We all have doubt. We all have questions we have to ask. We all have to work through these things. We all have things where we are hesitant about doing. That's a natural part of this process. It's a natural part. I'm sure this woman, she was naturally hesitant about going and doing the things she did. I guarantee you, she was so glad she pressed through. She stepped up. She didn't allow her fear to paralyze her. But to grab something, you got to let go. To grab the hem of His garment, you got to let go. You got to let go of your fear, your shame, your pride, and say, God, I want You and Your presence more than anything else in my life. But what if people find out what's really going on in my life? They're going to love you. Now, shame will tell you they won't. Shame will tell you they reject you. That's a lie. It's a lie from Satan himself. God is there to love you. The people of God are here to love you. We learn to be real. Verse 33 says, she was trembling with fear. She told him the whole truth. And in Matthew 5:34, he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I love that word, be freed. How many want to be free today? That's my prayer. I want to be free. I want you to live freedom. I want you to experience God's freedom in your life. I want you to experience the fullness of God's freedom in your life today. And it comes through letting go and taking hold. Letting go of the things that we've been fearful of. Letting go of the things we've been shameful of. Letting go of the things that have addictions in our life. Letting go of the things that are weak points in our life. Things that we want to share with nobody else. But letting those things go and saying, God, this is the real me. God, this is who I really am. This is my real heart. God, this is the things I'm weak in. God, these are the things I need You to help me in. There's a guy who knew a lot about this thing about being guilty and about being free. It was David, and David said it like this in Psalms 32, 5, and 6. I acknowledge my sin to You and did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to You, O Lord, and You forgave the guilt of my sins. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to You while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach Him. I like those words, surely, when the mighty waters rise. Because it doesn't say they may or may not. They will. Waters are going to rise, man. Things are going to happen in our lives that are out of our control. And the waters are going to get up to here. And you're going to be grasping for air at times. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But to the person who is open, to the person who acknowledges my sin to You, that's what He says, I acknowledge my sin to You, and I did not cover up. Because he was living a life of covering up. Remember that? And his pastor came to him and said, hey, Dave, King Dave, man, you got some secret sin in your life, and God's getting ready to judge you on it, buddy. And he has to deal with it, and he opens up and says, God, I'm an adulterer. God, I've made a mistake. And he opens up his life, and he shares it to God. And he finds freedom and forgiveness in God's merciful hands. That's what Dave was talking about here. But it's time to let go and take hold. Today, this year is going to be a great year for you. I believe that with all my heart today, that God is doing something great in your life. But I'm here to tell you that it's just time to make a public stand in your faith for Jesus Christ. It's a time to make a public stand and say, you know what, Pastor, I need to let it go. I need to let it go. Some of you here, you've been coming for a long time. You've been coming for a long time, and maybe you've raised your hand for salvation. Maybe you never raised your hand for salvation before. A lot of you raised your hand for salvation. Some of you haven't. Maybe you've been coming for a long time and say, Pastor, I've just been kind of checking things out. You need to quit checking things out. You need to say, God, here I am. Well, Pastor, I will. As soon as I get some things worked out in my life. No, You'll never get it worked out without God's help. And you can only get God's help when you come to him and say, God, this is my sin. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give my life to you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I need you. Some of you need to make a public confession of your faith. Some of you need to be baptized. You've never even been baptized before. You've been in church a long time, but you've never been baptized before. It's time. You make a public confession. God says, I want you to step forward, uncover who you are, and say, you know what? I need to be baptized. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, in 2 weeks, on February 1st, I'll baptize anybody who wants to be baptized here in this service. We're going to have a celebration service. It's going to be a big time. So if you want to be baptized today, you see me. I will baptize you. Some of you have been waiting. You've been on the edge of your seat. Don't wait any longer. This is your week, man. This is your time. Come up. Get baptized. Let God say, you know what? Pastor, does baptism make me a Christian? And we believe that Christianity starts when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But baptism becomes a public confession of my faith. I step forward and I'm advertising, saying, I am a Christian. I am standing strong. And it becomes a public confession of my faith when I step forward to be baptized. So some of you here, you need to be baptized. A lot of you here need to be baptized. It's okay. It's a strong point of maturity of saying, you know what? I'm tired of covering up. I want to come and just say, God, here I am. Here's my life. It's your time. Let's bow our heads this morning. With your heads bowed today, and you say, Pastor, I'm talking about letting go and taking hold. I realize in my life today that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now. I will not embarrass you in any way at all, but you're here today and say, Pastor, I need to uncover. I just need to uncover and say, God, I give you my life. If you're here today and you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, no one's looking around but me, but can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm ready today. I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand where you're at? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. Thank you. Say, I'm ready for that decision today, Pastor. Anybody else? Raise it high if that's you. I'll give you one more chance today. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to make that stand. Can you raise your hand one more time if that's you? Okay. Thank you for being honest. Appreciate that. Thanks. Thank you. Second question I have for you today. Maybe you're here today. Say, Pastor, I've been a Christian. I love the Lord, and I've just been putting it off. And today, I want to be baptized. As you're speaking that, just right now, I realize in my spirit that I need to be baptized. And I want to do that. I want to make that stand in 2 weeks. I want to be baptized. No one's looking but me. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I want to be baptized. I want to make that public confession today. Anybody else? This is a good thing. You say, today I want to be baptized. I'm making a covenant right now that in 2 weeks, I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to do it. Anybody else here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready for a fresh start. Maybe you were baptized as a kid, and you say, you know what? I just want to do it as a fresh start to God, saying, as an adult, I'm making a decision that I'm going to follow after Christ. Cutting through my shame. Anybody else here today, say, that's me, Pastor. I want to be baptized. Thank you. Thank you. Being honest. Anybody else, man? Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. Anybody else say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that public confession of my faith. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to say this prayer together. First of all, I want us to pray for those who raised their hands for the first thing I asked, about those who wanted to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior of their life. We had a couple of hands who raised this morning who said they want to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Say, first of all, let's all repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. All of my pain, all of my sin, I give you everything. And I accept your love. I accept your grace and forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said it today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. If you raised your hand today for salvation and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, We have a newcomers pack in the back that will actually tell you, new Christians, that has a free Bible for you and some other material in there that tells you what to do next. If you don't have a home church, you need to make sure that you get plugged into a home church. We'd love to have you here. If you have a home church somewhere else, go there. We don't care, but you need to get plugged in somewhere with people who will support you and encourage you. And today, I want to pray especially today for those who maybe today you're here and say, Pastor, I'm covering up some things in my life. How many today, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, but say, Pastor, as you're talking about uncovering today, I'm a Christian, but I realize today that God's asking me to uncover some things in my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Can you just raise your hands? Ask me, Pastor. God's asking me to uncover some things in my life. Just raise your hand where you're at. It's simple. God, say, God, today, some things I need to uncover in my life to God. Thank you for being honest. A lot of hands, guys. Thanks for being honest. See, it starts with honesty right here. It's time for us to take off these spiritual jackets, man, and lay them aside and say, God, let your grace cover me because this is the person I am. I'm going to pray a special prayer for you today in closing. Those of you who raised your hands to be baptized, make sure you let me know. We'll sign you up. In 2 weeks, you come ready to be baptized, okay? You come ready to be baptized in 2 weeks. We're going to baptize you. We'll have a heated tank right over here, a heated water. We'll do it right in the middle of our service. It's going to be a celebration time. But make sure you see me before you do that. So you can call the church office and let me know. The bulletin, the numbers in the bulletin there, you can let us know. We definitely want to sign you up. Let's stand to our feet this morning in closing. I want to pray for you who raised your hands and said you have some things you want to uncover in your life. How many know we got to be real, right? We got to be real. We got to be real. It starts right here. Father, in Jesus' name, well, I thank you, Lord, for people today confessing that, God, we don't have it together, that there's either secret sin or things in our life we're struggling with or things we need help in. And, Father, it all starts with letting go of our shame, letting go of our fear, God, and asking you today that, God, we need your help. We can't do it alone. And God, we uncover ourselves before you today and say, God, may your grace and your mercy cover us, God. Because God, we need you. And I pray for every person that raised their hand today. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help them today, Father, to make steps of being real, of confessing their sin to you, of openly saying, God, I can't do it. I need you. Finding somebody to be accountable to, a partner they can confess also to, a person they can trust in and say, I need help. I'm suffering with addiction or I'm suffering with things in my life that I need help in. And God, I pray that, God, we would become real people who pray for each other because we have real problems. But God, most of all, we serve a real God who's bigger than any problem, who's bigger than any bleeding, who's bigger than any shame, who's bigger than any pride that I have. That God, if I will just come and lay at your feet, if I will just come and face you, Lord, and say, Holy Spirit, today I need you. I need you, Lord, I need you. God, today your Holy Spirit comes like a flood. And it brings me forgiveness. And it brings me grace and mercy. And it covers my nakedness. And it covers who I am. Yeah, 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 yes, Lord. It covers who I am, Lord. Because your grace is so sufficient for me. So right now, just take a minute right now. Can you worship the Lord in your own way. Maybe you need to confess to him, say, God, Lord, I need you, Lord. I'm a sinner. Lord, I've got things in my life I need problems with. Whatever it is, God, you can confess it right now. Just confess it to him, Lord. Lord, we confess, Lord, we need you, Lord. My marriage needs you, God. My finances need you, Lord. My relationship with my children, Lord, my job, Lord, my addiction, God, it needs you. I need you. And I'm not going to carry it alone any longer. I'm not going to be scared to limp along any longer. I'm not going to be scared to fight through the current any longer. Because I know, even though I'm exposed, that if I just touch the hem of your garment, that God, I will be made whole. Through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, we speak, Lord, today. We speak, Lord, today. May freedom come, Lord. May freedom come, Lord. May healing come, Father, in Jesus' name. May we be set free from our shame and guilt. And may the power of the Holy Spirit fill our life today. Fill our heart today, God. With new boldness. With new determination. Knowing that, God, you are leading us and guiding us. And you are healing our bodies. and you are making us whole. And we say yes to you and your will today, God. We say, Father, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us today. Change our hearts. Change our lives. Yes to you and your will today. And we say together, amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck today. Shake a hand before you leave. Tell someone it was good to see you and be with you in church today.